What is up, everybody? Corey Vincent here, and this is a brand new episode of the Video Game Bang, Sacramento's number one geek and gaming podcast, as told by the good people at Good Day Sacramento. That's right. David Webb, how you doing, my friend?
What is up, everybody? Good to be here. I learned something new today, again.
Again?
I did. I live exactly one playthrough of Sabotage by Beastie Boys away from you.
I love that that's your hype song. I once asked David, like, what's that song you turn on your radio, like, Friday, you know, you're about to head home? He's like, no, he didn't even hesitate. Sabotage by Beastie Boys.
Yeah.
And then all I saw him was hitting a speed bump full speed going,
Wait, so you saw me on the way here, then?
Yeah.
I got some looks from your neighbors.
You know his face because he was streaming on our Instagram live all day today. What's up, Curtis?
Kingsguard, it's all day, baby, all day.
Man,
let's go.
Content machine, Curtis, dude. You've been all over the place. You've been streaming, reading comic books. Then you were doing some live streaming, IRL style. What did you do today?
Well, I paid some bills, first of all.
Did you take the Twitch stream? Did you take the stream on that?
Yeah. Hey, guys, this is how you pay your light bill. That's what my grandma used to call it, a light bill. Nah, man, I was just, I went and I did run some errands, and then there's something that I ordered that did not come in. FedEx told me it was going to be here today. They lied to me.
Oh, no.
But it said it needed a signature, so I'm like, oh, just send it to the store down the street. Because I got to run errands and I'll just go pick it up. And then they're like, oh, yeah. So it'll be available tomorrow. I'm like, you guys, I hate you. I hate you all. But on my stream, I did tell people it has to do with Black Panther, has to do with Marvel. And that's all I'm going to tell y'all for now. And purple, obviously, because I went and bought a bunch of King's gear and a bunch of purple
stuff.
Thank
you for the hat, by the way.
Got the hat, yeah.
He hooked me up with this beautiful Kingsguard hat. Emma Skies, what's going on? You just made a purchase today.
I did.
A big spend.
Hey, a very big spend. Very big.
Knowing you.
$7.
Whoa. Jeez. Let's calm down, one percenter.
Yeah.
Literally nobody gives a shit about this, but I'm so excited about it.
What?
You don't know. I'm excited for you.
The role Emma fills in our group is kind of like the always broke college kid, but somehow not in college.
Thanks.
So
thanks.
The fact that you just spent money.
I think you just called me the poor person.
You're the Dick Miller of the group. We worry about you.
We all have them, but you purchased for $7
at a
Goodwill.
Thanks. I feel great.
Hey, I'm glad I'm not broke no more. It took a long time.
Well, no, now it's got to change. Her fortunes are about to change because she just bought this thing for $7 and she's going to resell it. She's going to make a killing.
I don't want to resell it. It's mine.
You can't be so sentimental.
It's mine.
Haven't you ever seen an episode of Pawn Stars?
I don't know. I can do is $10.
I feel like your podcast should know it's a vintage sewing machine, which is why I said nobody here cares about it.
We care about it.
Hey.
Yeah.
We care for you.
Blam!
She's going to take it to resell it. Oh, I got to call my sewing machine guy.
Wow.
And it cuts to commercial.
Man, I've been going through some changes, guys.
Yeah.
A lot of life changes. I joined an MC, short for Motorcycle Club. And
wait, do they know that you joined?
Well, yeah. I mean,
I got a lot of questions. Let's not glaze over that. Let's pause for a second.
So I was found myself on a Thursday night at an Earth, Wind and Earth, Wind and Fire cover band show.
As one does.
Yes, yeah. As one does.
Tuesday for me, but sure Thursday.
You know, I've made a change in my life, guys. I went from stealing from homeless people to just being, you know, the best person I could be. I'm like, my name is Earl. So I was waiting at the
Lee.
Yeah, Jason Lee. So there was the machine where you get your parking ticket.
Yep.
There's a dude in front of me in a biker cut.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, whenever you see a biker cut, you go, oh, you know, I'm just gonna, you know, be aware. You know, not that they're bad people or scary or anything like that.
But be on alert.
Be on alert.
Yeah, I've seen Sons of Anarchy
plenty of times. I don't know if I'm about to get OP'd, you know?
So, which takes place fictionally close to where we live.
Right in our neighborhood. So he was trying to put a $20 bill in there, and it kept spitting it out. He pulled out another 20, spitting it out. And the thing said 5, and I had a 5 on me.
Yeah.
So I was like, let me try this. And I put it in there and got him through. And he was like, I don't got change. I was like, dude, don't even worry about it. You know, later, enjoy
just
the concert.
Kill me.
Yeah, just don't kill me. I learned you respect those dudes. That's like modern-day mafia, you know?
Yeah,
You don't want him to owe you nothing. You don't want to owe him nothing. You just go your separate ways.
Mm-hmm.
His name was Juice. Ain't you know, okay. Part of you know, he was definitely looked the part, and okay. So he goes in, we pay, get in there, and I was like, I'm never gonna see him. This place is pretty damn big, mm-hmm. and the only open spot is right next to Juice.
Oh snap!
And he kind of looks over at me, looks back, he's like, hey, get over here. I came over there. He mm-hmm. like had a five that he went and found. He's like, I was looking for you. Gave me the five, no and he's like, come get a beer with me. And we shared a beer, and okay. I mean, I'm not an official member, you know. I don't have a motorcycle.
Yeah, okay. So that was my follow-up question. When you said that you had a bike, did they know it was a 10-speed? Because
or a Vespa?
I learned a lesson that day. Like, you know, Juice, me and Juice would have never met yeah. in the wild. But we kind of just got this random feeling to go to this concert and just hang out, you know, and an act of kindness.
Isn't
and
that the wild?
What? The wild.
As opposed to like, like you met out in the world, just living your lives. What is?
No, but I mean, like, we ended up, like, I mean, maybe we'd cross paths or something, but this wouldn't be my friend Juice. Like, now I'm gonna go head to Zocale and on Howe Avenue, and he said I can get free shots. Like, what? Yeah, we made a bond. We were.
You got the juice now, son.
It's like Pokemon Court. He turns a corner. Biker wants to battle.
So shout out to Juice and my new MC. And then the San Francisco Shot completed their perfect stage, 28-0, and I was a man of my word. I said I would do it.
Let's see it.
I dyed my hair.
Let's see it. Let's right. see it. Take so that Kingsguard cap off.
I'm wearing a Kingsguard hat that Curtis got me. So I'm gonna
take off your crown, sir.
See it on the Twitch stream.
Let's get it.
Hey, that yeah. is yeah. fluorescent.
Yeah,
that's orange.
Fake streamer boy.
Yeah.
That's fucking neon, is what that is.
Yeah.
They hit baby. You with the highlighter.
It's called Lava. That's the name of the okay. color. Shout out to my boys at Bishop's.
Hey.
This is yeah. the place that David recommended to okay, me. Sweet. He gave me a card. I went there. I got my hair cut once before, mm-hmm. and I saw they had the color thing. And I trust them. Like, they've done like the best haircuts I've ever had. So I went in, and then they hooked it up, man. They
did a good job.
They made my hair orange.
Yes, they
oh,
did.
Oh, man.
You definitely look like one of my favorite Fraggle Rock characters now. But I respect it.
So far, I'm Scuffed Guy Fieri. I'm course. Running for Mayor of Flavortown. Mayor of 2020.
Did you do Biker Gang see your hair?
No, I don't think Juice would approve.
Hey, you could always go bald and you'll be right back in there. I mean,
it's orange like orange juice, so maybe that's my new nickname.
Oh no, that's way oranger than orange juice, my friend.
And I hear you didn't quite expect it to hurt.
No, why the fuck did no one ever tell you that it burns when you bleach your hair?
Because it's bleach. It's chemicals.
I've wanted to get my hair, like when I was young, like I was like, oh man, my favorite bands, Offspring, Sublime, their lead singers all have bleached hair.
Yeah.
And I wanted to do it. My parents always said no. So I never experienced it. So this was the time I got to go in there. And when I saw it, I was like, ooh, not what I expected.
Hey, no. I bleached my hair once.
Did you?
Yeah.
The tips or did you go all in?
Tips for years. And then I decided, like, I'm going to go all in. It turned out it was box dye. So it turned
ooh,
out.
Oh, no. Don't at home bleach.
Not too far away from what your hair looks like now.
You didn't use a toner, did you?
I didn't know what a toner was. Yeah, I used Garnier Fruit Piece.
It was the 90s. We didn't have this knowledge, Emma. See, we didn't have the internet, so we couldn't just find this shit out. And you just would experience things and then be dumb and never do it again.
Well, I had the internet, but I didn't listen to my mom. Y'all be thankful that y'all hair turned out the way it did. The reason why I'm bald now is because I had an amazing hair career while it lasted the first 30 years of my life. I had blue, I had green, I had dreads, I had braids, I had long permed hair like four times. I was looking like damn, Sugar Free, if y'all even know who he is. But then one day I bleached my hair and literally the next day it fell out.
Mm-hmm. No fucking no. way. No.
All the way gone. At
yep.
once?
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm glad
it
you
destroys
did.
The follicle.
I'm glad you didn't tell me that story before I did this.
So I'm picturing you're asleep and then you wake up and you like go get up and your hair stays on your pillow. And it's just this perfect outline of your head.
I wish it was that. It was more like I woke up, it was still attached to my head. I started brushing my hair, and I was like, what's all this yellow stuff on my shirt? Like it was all
dang.
Bad. So yeah.
The other one I've gotten so far is Heatmeister.
Oh, no remember way.
That guy?
Seriously?
Yeah. So keep them coming. Chat's already calling me Tang.
Tang?
Which,
I was going to call you Tampico.
Tampico! Oh, man.
So why didn't you dye your beard?
No, it's too valuable. My hair grows so fast.
Doesn't your beard grow a lot faster than your hair?
I don't think it does. Like, the beard takes time and love and attention, and I just can't do it to that. My hair grows so fast and it's short. Like, this is my summer look, and I'm already getting people looking at me weird.
Well,
I don't like it. This is the second time.
what do you mean looking at you? Like, describe this.
No, they're like there's.
I feel like nobody is. It's all in his head.
No, I swear to you, it's not. You catch because you see their eyes go straight to eyes and then straight up.
Yeah.
And
well, then, I mean, you do realize that people are still, even though more people are dying their hair, that's still not as common.
Your HOA is gonna be pissed. Yeah. Neighbors are going to be calling.
Call the homeowners association.
The first time I feel like people would look at me strange is when I was bald. When I had the I was going through a phase.
Yeah.
Okay.
But now this is the second time. And then so if they're not just kind of staring from a distance, like now anybody who I like all the every checker I've gone to every grocery store since always makes a comment, and I feel like they're just trying to this is temporary. Very
you
temporary.
You better stop being so self-conscious. That hair looks fantastic. You better work it.
No.
work it. Wow. Go to Dutch Bros. And see what they have to say. That's a whole conversation at Dutch Bros.
I don't like going to Dutch Bros because they talk to you too much.
All right, Larry David.
No, that's true. They do. That's why I don't go there on my break at work.
Oh, yeah.
That's fair. You know, I don't like people anyway.
So getting into the stuff, let's get into the big news going around the internet and the world. We have a new podcast that we do on our Patreon called Bang of Thrones, and we laid into this last episode.
We did.
To put it lightly.
It was a long one. Like, our podcast, I think, was longer than the episode.
Yeah. Or about on par.
Yeah.
I mean, there was some good parts, too. Don't think it was just us railing on it. There were some pretty good scenes and good stuff, but the parts that they fucked up, they fucked up. And then one part that kind of went viral, which you've probably heard of, is the coffee cup.
It has since been edited out.
Yeah.
Did they really?
Yeah, if you watch it on HBO Go or HBO Now, it's gone. They edited it out.
Good for them.
No, screw it. Own it. Own your mistake.
Yeah.
Embrace it.
Yeah. We'll go back an episode and see if they lightened up all those dark scenes from the last one.
Nah, just your TV.
So if you want to get a full lineup of thoughts of opinions on Game of Thrones, where we think they're taking the series, go check us out there. Also got our amazing sponsors, Oblivion Comics Coffee, Mainframe.gg, VastGG, and Energy Esports. Okay. Emma, do you mind if I lead with the stories here?
Go for it. I mean, you want to talk about weird looking stuff? Let's go for it.
Sonic the fucking Hedgehog.
Oh,
holy shit. They listened, but did they have a choice? So they came out on Twitter. Jeff Fowler, who I believe is like a producer, he came out and said, "Thank you for the support." Okay, nice way to start, bro.
Nobody supported that.
It's like a Call of Duty. When they came out and like, our fans are very passionate.
Yeah, they
appreciate the passion of the community.
Yeah.
No, we're fucking pissed.
Yeah.
All right, Sonic looks crunchy. And then he says, and the criticism. There we go.
Okay, there it is. So,
thank you for the support and the criticism. The message is loud and clear, .. Saying like, all right, motherfuckers, it's clear.
Mm-hmm.
You aren't happy with the design and you want it changed. So, breaking that sentence down, you aren't happy with it implies that he is happy with it. So, okay. You still got me. It's going to happen. Everyone at Paramount and Sega are fully committed to making this character the best, capitalized, he can be. Sonic movie, # gotta fix fast.
Hot take, this is bad news.
It can't get any worse.
No, this is bad news for everybody that works on that movie. Because you know who I bet didn't decide to fix it? The art team.
That's what I was about to say.
The animators. Yep. I bet they had no choice in this. It was some dickhead sitting in a corporate suit going, oh, we should change this. But the movie, you know, we're not going to delay it at all. So have fun being on crunch until this movie comes out.
The animators are sitting there on Twitter the next day going, oh,
and you know what? I bet the art department was the same people that said, maybe this design isn't the best choice. Like, motherfucker, we warned you about this months ago, years ago when we started working on this, and now that the fans aren't happy about it, you're going to make us redo everything, but not push the movie back.
Yeah.
Cool.
They're Captain America and Endgame. Big big chief executive comes in. You've got to be shitting me.
Aw, shit. Here we go again.
It's the very first thing I thought of. I was like, oh, yeah, y'all fixing it. Dang, so that means that all the work that they've already been doing, mm-hmm. they have to totally redo. And I know how it works because any big art firm or art team or whatever, they're always going to make a few different renderings and then take it to the executive and then let them choose. And I'm pretty sure that they were like, now this one's our favorite. Mm-hmm. It's more close to, you know, the original. And, you know, but take a look at whatever you like. And he probably pointed to the one that he liked. And they were like, okay, your money, pal. Yeah.
I was like, this is the one that we made based off of the notes that you wanted. And this is the one that we made that looks good. And he's like, nah, I like this one.
I like that one.
Thanks, ego. Since what I do for a job is compose tweets. Like, that's it. So I like to read into these. And when he says, you aren't happy with the design and you want changes, to me, that implies he's the guy in the suit who was like, nah, let's go with that one.
Could have been.
And this was his arm being twisted into making this tweet, but it went exploded. Congrats on them. Twitter is still a powerful tool. People think it's dying. It's also, it's doing two great things within the same week, fixing Sonic and bringing back spicy chicken nuggets at Wendy's. Oh, baby. What do you think of that, Yoshi? What do you think, kids?
I'm confused. That Yoshi, Yoshi uses that for both happy and sad.
Oh, yeah.
Is he Groot? Like, that's all he says? We don't know?
Herng! It's just a herng. So, thanks to Chance the Rapper, of all people, he posted a tweet out there talking about the tragedy of there being no spicy nuggets. Mm-hmm. Wendy's gets on their Twitter account and says, if this hits 2 million, we'll bring them back over a night. The next afternoon,
oh my gosh.
2 million and nuggets are coming back. This is fucking marketing genius right here.
Straight up. Wendy's has been holding it down. Whoever's on their Twitter has been killing it for a minute now.
Yeah.
Their Twitter's pretty entertaining. Follow Wendy's if you haven't yet.
We're bringing back them nuggies, baby. But, people in chat, I'm only doing this because chat wants me to. And I feel terrible because I hijacked the news segment. Emma, how can I make it up to you better than playing the theme song?
I hate you.
Emma.
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 It's gonna shoot you.
Dang! With a harpoon, probably.
Every Likely. Time I hear that, it always ends way longer than I keep expecting it to. I've heard it over and over again, and I keep thinking, oh, and it's right. No, it doesn't.
It's in the uncanny valley of music.
It's horrible.
So what
it's
y'all
horrible.
Don't know is between every show, he adds an extra 2 seconds. Just to throw you off.
It's horrible. So we do actually have some video games to talk about. Some video game stuff. So you may have seen there is yet another of these game studio exposés came out this week. This time about NetherRealm, which just recently released Mortal Kombat 11.
All bad.
It really is all bad.
It's no good.
So Variety, we're just going to get into this. This is a really long, very dense piece that we're going to kind of go through some of the big points on. But I mean, kind of just to start with, like, we are just hearing this constantly now, over and over. There's more and more. And honestly, I think it's a good thing. Because I think this has been happening for forever. And the fact that there's more of these big exposés coming out over and over again just sheds more light on it and just
gets us
closer.
What was the first big one that came out that kind of set the ball rolling? Because there have been others in the past, but there was one fairly recently that came out.
For Mortal Kombat? For NetherRealm?
The Kotaku one back in August for Riot was
that's
like...
That's what it was. Mm. Yeah.
What kind of hit... It was like a catalyst for another wave of these to start happening, I feel like.
It's kind of one of those kind of perpetuating things where they know what gets the hits and what are considered big pieces. And so when one blows up, they follow suit. And in this case, it's not such a bad thing because these are things that need to get brought to light.
Right. So in regards to this, so this was a piece in Variety, and they said reports of underpaid crunch on Mortal Kombat 11 started surfacing back in April, but this problem goes years beyond that. Like, just goes way back to, like, basically since the company wasn't NetherRealm. So Variety spoke to 7 current and former employees, 5 of whom asked to remain anonymous because they feared retribution from the company.
Right.
And basically they talked about, quote, gender discrimination, a loud, obnoxious, super toxic work environment. The common pressure among all the sources was that they said they felt pressured to work long hours, which came with the threat of being replaced or denied a chance at a more desirable position or better pay. So it's kind of, it's the stuff that we've been seeing from all these companies. You're forced to work long hours without them having to say the words, "We're forcing you to do this."
Yep.
Because if you don't, they're just going to get rid of you and put somebody else in your place. It's a horrible place for women to be.
Mm-hmm.
This is like on par with Riot as far as like a toxic work culture.
Yeah, I was reading ahead before the show, and yeah, that's pretty awful.
I think it's NetherRealm. Like, what do you expect? This is to be honest, this is one of those teams that I've given up on years ago. I was a big fan of the Mortal Kombat series, like everybody, and then I became a huge fan when Deadly Alliance came out,
mm-hmm.
and oh man, there was another one that had a really sick campaign story in it, but. And then even Annihilation, I think, was it?
Annihilation was another one.
Yeah, that's the one that where they brought like all the characters. It was a beautiful franchise, and then once the next gen came out and they started getting that greed, that's what really turned me off to them before. Like, without even knowing how awful they were in their office environment, they're one of the worst at microtransactions. And then, like, I'm okay with microtransactions and downloadable content, but what I hate is when you are taking advantage of your fans, like the hardcore ones. And the way they do that is like a game comes out and they make you pay full price, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're the type of company that less than 6 months later has all the characters version for half the price. And I just hate that kind of shit. Like, take some time with it. Provide real bonuses. Don't punish the people who want to play the game first. Those are your most hardcore people you should be catering to the most.
So. Yeah. So as far as Crunch goes, they said that one current employee says he and his coworkers have been working 60 to 70 hour weeks, 7 days a week, with not a single day off since January, leading up to the release of Mortal Kombat 11 on April 23rd, and they're still in that mode because they're constantly fixing things. They have patches that are coming out. They're fixing the currency that's in the game. Like, they are still, people are living in the office. They're sleeping in offices, or they put inflatable beds in their cubicles. They said some guy was walks around the office in a bathrobe because he just like lives in his pajamas there.
Wow.
Like, these people literally live at their office.
That's terrible.
Holy crap.
So one guy said, he's basically talking about like, they don't tell you in so many words that you have to do this. They don't say, you know, you are required to work all this overtime hours and get underpaid for it.
Right.
He says my direct manager would tell them overtime isn't mandatory, but everyone is expected to do their fair share. Meaning that when we have it, because even before we started interviewing and building up our temp team, we already knew there's going to come a point where we're going to start crunching because we've been working on this since forever. You're expected to do so.
Ego Brain said, if you can come in this Saturday, that'd be great.
Exactly.
Really, though.
That's what it is. Yeah, Lomberg.
It's ridiculous. He says, you know, and it's one of these things where a lot, you know, this is a common thread in a lot of these video game companies, is that a lot of them aren't full time. They specifically don't hire people on full time. They hire independent contractors, mm-hmm. temporary employees on these contracts for, say, 9 months at a time.
Yeah.
And then they terminate that contract for 3 months, and then they do another 9 month contract. Literally, so they don't have to hire them as full time employees.
Yeah. They ain't trying to give up no benefits.
Right.
What's kind of interesting about this is it's not new at all.
Oh, absolutely not.
This is a new industry, obviously, a newer industry, but like, that's how it was in production for television mm-hmm. and stuff, too. Especially, it's a very East Coast mentality. It happens everywhere, but there's that East Coast like drive, determination. This is how you make it. You know, everybody pays their dues to get to where I'm at because I had to do it, and the person before me did it, and that's how we do. If you didn't struggle, you didn't earn it.
Right, and like, that's the kind of shit that you're getting from people that are either outside the industry in other industries where this also happens, or people that have been in the games industry for a long time that are saying like, that's just how it is, and like, I had to do it, so you have to do it. And I don't understand that. Like, you had to suffer, so you want everyone else to suffer?
Embrace the grind.
That's terrible.
Yeah, I've hated that, like, in my own workplace and in others. I mean, and it goes way back to, you know, the muckrakers, you know, mm-hmm. and the whistleblowers. It's part of it. It's funny. I was watching, I think it was the video game movie, or it might have been like the documentary on the E.T. game. And the dude that did that was he was talking about that way back then. That was in the 80s or like mid 80s, late 70s, and he was like, oh yeah, they came in and they said we need, or whenever E.T. came out, they came in and they said they need this game and they need a hint. And he's like, so I pretty much didn't sleep for however many months.
Yep.
And I was like, it Damn. Makes me think back to that. Like, this has been going on that long, and that's why anything that's this deep-rooted, you have to dig deeper and you have to fight harder because it's deep. You got to pull it out and cut it off. It's terrible.
Yeah, and this the source from before was talking about, like, he hasn't had a night of sleep longer than 4 hours since January.
Oh my God, what?
Like, that's just, they all live there. So, and going, like, on the contractor part, as far as, you know, why do all this overtime? Why keep doing it? And so he's talking about there's this culture of waving full-time in front of you like a carrot. So it is, he's got an email where they say it's recommended that you work as much overtime as possible to increase your chances of getting full-time. And they never do. They never do.
It's
and that's
abuse.
And it's like that. And this isn't obviously isn't just a NetherRealm problem. Like, this is just the games industry in general. That's yeah. just how it works. It's super shitty.
It's abusive.
Within NetherRealm, however, they said contract workers aren't even treated like real employees, but despite working well over 40-hour work weeks, they A, had to buy their own copy of the game. Like,
what?
At the end of it, you don't even get a copy of the game. You have to go buy it yourself. And then they played it only to find out that they were listed in the credits as additional support.
Yikes.
And not even fully listed in there. They don't get invited to things like launch events or anything they throw for company employees unless there's not enough full-time employees that are attending to fill it out. And then they have to, like, basically fight to be like, hey, we work here. Can you, like, include us in these company events?
Jeez.
Oh, jokes.
It's time to unionize, baby.
Really, yeah. though. Yeah. And one source heard a higher up say, quote, it's okay. Interns aren't really people because contractors are consistently referred to as interns even after they've been there for 3 or 4 or 5 contracts in a row.
Dang. Oh,
interns aren't really people.
It sucks. And the only way they get away with it, just like I'm sure, you know, the film industry and movie industry did it too, is just because there's this allure and there's a magic
yes.
in the video game industry. And it happens in esports too, just as often.
You know what? It's funny. The reason why this bugs me so much and like, because it's so deep rooted, it's the free or like extremely discounted labor.
Mm-hmm.
You know where that's such a popular story at? America and slaves.
Oh man.
Free and highly discounted labor. and that's why the people at the top like it, because they're like, I'll make you do something that it seems like everybody had mm-hmm. to do just so I don't have to pay you for as long as I can. And then when I finally gotta pay you, like if you put me in the corner, then I'll put you on.
Yeah.
I hate it's literally what it
it's
is.
It's a total culture thing.
Yeah.
Like, because the only reason I'm sure they're doing that is because that's how they get incentivized above them
yeah.
from the bigger company.
Yeah, because
look at I produce this for this cheap.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Look how good I
yeah.
am.
Now, can I get that bonus, which would really help the people below me so they can feed their families and, I don't know, take a vacation and get some health care? Because mm-hmm. you probably suffer from anxiety because you never sleep, you don't eat, right? It's
you never
crazy.
Know if you're going to have a job the next day.
Yeah, yeah. So you're stressed. It's a mess.
The company I work for is super small. Like, it's a startup, but that's one of the things I've always deeply appreciated about my boss, mm-hmm. David. Mm-hmm. He came from TV industry, got Emmys and stuff under his belt, and so him coming to esports was like a culture shock.
Right.
Like, he's used to, he doesn't understand memes or the games necessarily, and that's what I would help him fill in. And
right.
so we were like a yin and yang for a little bit. Like, he was making me better and I was helping improve him. But he came up very much in that time of very hard nose, like, you scream at each other when there's a conflict.
Yeah.
I'm like, bro, I'm a millennial, man. I don't have time for that.
I
don't want to yell, man. I'm going to go tell my mom, you know? Like, and so he's changed me to be tougher, and he's softened up, you know, for me. And it's been, and that's always the thing between both of us, though, because this, like I said, we run very lean.
Yeah.
And it's always been family first. When you need time or a mental health break, like,
right.
do it. Regardless of all the other stuff and the high intensity projects we're working on, it's always been that mentality. And the reason I bring that up is because he's old school from film and he's learning these ways and applying them.
Yeah.
People could learn, people could change, but it comes from, like, they don't want to be, I'm sure, mean, but it's the way they're incentivized. It's what drives their success. And they let that block out humanity. And it's very unfortunate.
Yep. I agree.
Yeah, and going back to your point on, like, there's this allure in games, is, like, from the outside, a lot of people are just like, you know, it's super cool to work on it. You know, you got to work on this game that I really love playing. Like, that must be an amazing job. You get to play games all day, which anybody who works in games knows is not the fucking truth.
Yeah.
But one of the sources they were talking to said a lot of the temporary employees are recruited from DePaul University, and they're just students who are willing to work 9 months at a time for $14 an hour to say they worked on a AAA game. So, and that's kind of held over them. They're like, if you don't want to deal with this, there are 1,000 other students at this school right down the street that will take your place happily and not bitch about it.
There's a thing to be said for that in different industries, and I'm sure you've seen it in cosplay. You've seen it in photography. Mm-hmm. You see it in all these other industries. Artists, you know, like for there's always people that will work for cheaper and like, I got a DSLR camera, so like, of course I'll shoot your wedding for $100.
Right.
Which is stealing out of the mouths of like the people who really put in the work and got the, you know, you'll notice the difference in quality.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's the same thing with this, with these programmers and those people that take those jobs need to get educated that, you know, what's good for them in the short term is very bad for everybody else in the long run.
Yeah.
Union.
So going like back, cause we were talking about how like this problem just goes back years. So this is also the studio that makes Injustice. When they were working on Injustice 2, right. Yep. So back in 2017, I don't know if you guys remember, like right before the game was supposed to come out, like weeks before the game was supposed to come out, there was some big leak of just a bunch of shit that was not supposed to get out, and suddenly it got out. And so somebody had a story about when he worked there, and that leak happened, and the studio head basically pulled everybody into a room and just started screaming at everyone.
What? A blowout.
Pulled everybody into the room and essentially told them, I know it was one of you that did it. It was somebody in this room. This leak came from inside the company. I know it was one of you. And if none of you fesses up, I'm going to fire the entire temporary and contract staff. Because basically the way he was going at it was he assumed everybody in the room knew who it was and they were just protecting one person.
Yeah.
And he just laid into them.
Yeah.
And was like, I will fire all of you if I have to. I don't care.
It's so abusive.
Yeah. So one source was telling employees, everything's all right. They can't afford to lose any of you. We're going to be okay. But take this as a lesson. Don't trust them. Don't think that they like you. They think you're all disposable.
Ouch.
And that was the lesson because he'd worked there for a while. And like that was the lesson he was trying to impart. He's like, they can't actually fire you because they can't get rid of all of us.
Yeah.
But they don't give a single shit about you.
Nope.
Oh, and it turns out the leak came from outside the company.
They did find the source, and
it was none of them.
What a joke.
It wasn't a single one of them.
That's awful. That's awful.
So just between being in crunch and being a contract worker, that's just a horrible fucking place to be. And shocker of all shockers, it's even worse if you're a woman.
I'm surprised they hired any women, to be honest. It's more combat.
Barely any.
Yeah.
But there were some women that spoke to them about their experiences at the company. And it's so one woman who actually did allow herself to be named Rebecca Rothschild, because she doesn't work there anymore, so she didn't give a shit.
She's like, screw
it, yeah. She was a QA analyst on Mortal Kombat X and Injustice 2, who says she worked 90 to 100 hour work weeks on both of those games.
What? Good Lord.
And her quote on this was, I have never been more aware of my gender and my insignificance at a workplace.
Ouch.
Than when she was working at NetherRealm. She says, I left with scars and fear of an industry that I am deeply passionate about.
My God.
It's just a bad place. One source said that all the female employees in the office were given derogatory nicknames by men.
What?
All of them. How do you have the time for that? So some of the ones they pointed out were Silver Fox, DB, which was short for Dyke Bitch.
Whoa.
Morph was a reference to a trans employee.
Oh, no.
Like, they, every single woman in the office, every one of them.
Where is the HR department?
Oh, we'll get there.
Okay.
We will get to the HR department. Oh, that is coming up. One of her coworkers once jokingly called an Injustice Mobile character who did bleeding over time of the month Wonder Woman.
Oh.
In the presence of two of the leads in the company. And referring to women as bitches was commonplace in the office. Constantly.
Wow.
And they did this in front of HR, in front of company leads, in front of executives, and nobody gave a shit.
What a cesspool.
Has NetherRealm at least tried to come out and make a statement, like, to defend themselves? Like,
they did, and we'll get to that at the end, but basically they gave the corporate line that's like, oh,
we don't give a shit about these bitches.
That's exactly what they said.
They
gave the corporate line that's like, you know, we strive to have an inclusive workplace, and we're dedicated to looking into these issues, and all the shit that they're supposed to say when this happens.
Right.
And going further than just the way they're treated, you know, by the men in the company, women in the studio talked about going years or multiple contracts before being told they could even try to negotiate their hourly rates. they were always told it was non-negotiable. Men in the company were not told the same thing. They were constantly able to negotiate their hourly rates, even on their first contract. Hmm. But almost every woman had the same, you know, was told that they were not allowed to negotiate. They were also rarely bumped up to full time. There were positions in the company that were created specifically for people, and those people were always men. It was just, it's just horrible. I can't.
If there's that much sexism, then there can't be. It can't be like racism can't be that far behind.
No, absolutely not. And she calls it out at the same time. She says, like, this is just a horrible place to work for women and people of color and non-binary.
Yeah.
Like, it's just.
How, well, it sounds like a terrible place to work for everybody, but an even worse place to work for that those groups of people. Yeah. Like, how does this stand that? Like, but there's more.
Oh, you want to know?
There's more.
There's more.
It can't get any worse.
This was one of the stupidest things I read in this whole thing, and it's like just one of those, like, you realize how little the company gives a shit about women or anybody that's not a man.
Yeah.
They, one of their departments, the building had no restrooms for women and two for men, and one of the men's rooms had a tampon dispenser, so it had originally been a women's room and they made it a men's room.
Well, I mean, that just makes sense. There's like 90% dudes there. The women, women don't need that many bathrooms.
You sound
not
like
one.
You're part of their HR, right?
They could use the Starbucks right next door.
It was, yeah, they basically had to. They had to walk to a different building within the campus to go use the bathroom. The only reason it finally changed, they finally changed one of the men's rooms to a unisex room because outside talent came in. A voice actress was working on the game and she had to walk to a different building and it embarrassed one of the executives.
Oh,
and that's the only reason it changed after years.
Gosh.
And all of these problems, women were actively encouraged not to speak to HR.
Hang on, before I move too far past the bathrooms, I don't know if I was a woman there, I don't know if I'd want to use a restroom in the building. Like, this seems like the environment where there's gonna be cameras in the restroom.
I'm just being honest.
I
don't put it past a place like this.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying.
Video Game Bang would not like to say, we're not saying that NetherRealm had cameras in the bathroom.
But we're not saying that
they
did, because we don't know. But damn, this is...
It was so...
It's a disaster.
Yeah, they were actively and consistently encouraged not to go to HR if you talk to your supervisor about these problems. One of the sources said the entire studio had a bro-centric culture where complaints about women in general were a daily occurrence. Quote, sometimes you want to just slap a bitch is a thing I got to read in a company chat. Calling someone out for bad behavior was met with over-exaggerated pleas to not take it to HR, and when I did talk about the culture problems to full-timers, I usually got the line of, at least it's not as bad as Midway, which was an earlier incarnation.
That was
of,
what, yeah,
yeah,
that was what
they're the original.
So, yeah, and she would say, they would say, at least it's not as bad as Midway, you know, where they did, usually followed with something terrible, like doing blow off of hookers in the studio.
But this is Midway.
Yeah, it is Midway.
Now we just do Molly off of strippers' boobs. What the hell?
The same source says she went to HR when she personally witnessed sexual harassment, but not only did they not help her, they put more women in harm's way. And she doesn't elaborate on that point, but I imagine what that means is probably they just put more women, you know, different women in that supervisor's path.
Oh, my. Gosh.
Took out the one that they decided was the problem and put others in that place.
This is pretty sad to hear. Needless to say, I don't think we're going to be getting sent a review copy of the new Mortal Kombat game. I have zero interest in the game, to be honest.
Nah, like, I'm not supporting it. The microtransactions thing and how Ed Boon handled that was terrible enough, but just like to hear all this additional stuff,
it's been going on for years, the whole time.
Terrible. They did put out, like, when they were announcing the game, when they did their first like thing where they sent everybody like these envelopes that said you're invited to Mortal Kombat, and they all went and they had like a I was jealous of all the people I got to see, other podcasters and content creators getting this thing, because it looked fucking badass. And then you go and you see the awesome screenshots. But then as they started like touring more of the facility to show the things that they had, it was just a little Mad Max for me. Like they had a room basically filled with like computer monitors and stuff. And they basically put you head to toe in like gear and a mask and give you a baseball bat. And they just crank metal music and let you destroy shit. And I was like, that's not...
Okay. That's the kind of shit you have to have when they're working 80 hours a week. Because if you don't put that, they're going to take the baseball to the corporate.
Yeah, exactly. To the corporate office, which is probably 30 floors above where they are, so they can't reach him. Yeah, this is my. Yeah, that place. Yeah, it reeks of toxicity. And
so, this was one of the second. So this was actually from a man, not even from a woman. Mm-hmm. Said one employee, when a senior producer, their senior producer went to HR about being excluded from meetings and the general unprofessional environment, he was told, quote, "Why don't you try caring less?"
Oh, my God.
By the HR rep.
There's
what?
And then the HR rep turned around and blow off a stripper.
I don't understand how. And, I mean, I was thinking this the whole time I'm reading this, I'm thinking this, and then it actually comes up in the article that one of the employees makes sure to remind all the other employees, like, HR isn't there for you. HR is there for the company. HR is not your friend. Mm. HR is there to keep you from suing the company. They're there to look out for the company's best interests, not yours.
That's to every job I've ever worked, I always felt like that's the case.
Oh, I mean, that's just, like, the HR departments in general.
Yeah.
That's just how they operate.
Yeah.
So one former employee, when she left, actually filed a report against NetherRealm with the Equal Opportunity Employment Commission.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm feeling like I got that acronym. I can't words.
We know what you're talking about.
I got the acronym mixed up, but same thing. The government body that's supposed to take care of this shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And she sent a list of more than a dozen incidents that occurred within a year. Including, when she got there, and she had replied to NetherRealm multiple times, and when she finally got there, she was talking to somebody that it turned out had gotten the job that she applied for, like, a couple years earlier. Mm-hmm. So she's talking to this guy, and she found out she was passed up for this job in favor of a male hire who had no previous games industry work, had never used the engine that they were developing in. And basically, this was, like, his first thing. She had 3 to 5 years, I believe, of work in the industry, had been working on that engine and the company software they used for years. And she was passed up for this dude. Her coworkers would make comments about her wearing long sleeve shirts, which she used to hide self-harm scars, and would joke with that, like, basically make comments about her cutting herself. And when she told HR about this and that she had a history of depression, she was urged to keep it to herself.
As you do with depression and anxiety.
Just bottle it up.
Yeah.
Just bottle it up.
Number one thing you're supposed to do.
Bottle it up.
She once scolded a coworker because he just walked by and took food off her desk. And then when she scolded him, a higher up told her, quote, "He doesn't need to ask permission. He's a man. He can take what he wants from you." And then tried to high five her.
I want to believe.
He tried to high five her.
Up top. He's like, "You can take whatever he wants. Up top, bitch."
No.
This is this can't be real. This is comedy.
I don't understand. Like, it sounds horrible. How does that? And then so she, like, when she wouldn't, you know, high five him, he tried to explain to her that it was just a joke.
Mansplained to her.
So she basically filed a complaint with the EEOC against NetherRealm, and Warner Brothers' legal department denied any wrongdoing, arguing the fact that she was not really an employee of NetherRealm because she was an independent contractor.
Oh.
So it didn't matter.
She's not really a person.
She's not really a person. She's an intern.
Jeez. Good Lord.
The complaints were dismissed, and she was told that her only recourse was to file a former lawsuit.
So she lawyered the fuck up.
No. Oh. No.
She can't afford it because she's just an intern. This can't be the only studio doing this, though, right, Emma? I mean, surely there's other studios that are better.
No, they all suck. No, like, and this is just what the games industry has become, and it's so shitty. And this is why I love indie games.
I think you can't let it stand up for the whole, like, this NetherRealm, it feels like an isolated thing, and not to be like, you can't necessarily judge a book by its cover, but it seems like the content within the game is, you know, you kind of can draw a comparison, like, and the toxicity in the League of Legends community, another company that's been getting hammered, is Riot. You know, the games that they create, they foster a certain attitude, and I guess it spills over into the staff, even though you don't want it to. I think that Mortal Kombat is, like, just, it wasn't interesting before, and now I really hope that they could come up with some stuff to refute at least a percentage of these for their own good. But what's the discourse here? We just don't support this game? What's the lesson?
Yeah, I think don't support this game. They were talking in, I believe it was in this article, they were talking about, like, because what you always hear is that if, you know, if you don't support it, then the people that worked on it don't get their bonuses and don't get paid. But they don't get those anyway.
Yeah.
They almost, like, at NetherRealm, some guy talked about he had like a 1% raise over 5 years at working there, never saw bonuses based on sales of the game. Like, just don't support this game. Don't support this company. Don't buy the game. Don't pay microtransactions. Just fucking let them fade into obscurity until they figure their shit out.
And yeah. If you really want to buy it, just wait a year until the collector condition comes out and buy it used. Then that way GameStop gets all your money. The lesser of two evils is GameStop. That's where we're at.
It really is. GameStop is the good guy in this scenario. And it's just, it's such a nightmare. Reading this fucking sucks. Yeah. This just fucking sucks.
Yeah, it's terrible. We got happy news, right? Oh, here's some happy news.
No, we don't.
I got one here real quick. Apex Legends, our favorite game, right? We've been talking about all this new content they're going to give us. No, not yet. It's going to come to your fucking cell phone.
Hey, and, you said you wanted them to do something different. They're doing something different.
This is not what I was talking about.
I'm just saying. You didn't say not to do
this. Why would you put this game on mobile? Like, that does not make sense.
Because Fortnite and PUBG are on mobile?
Yeah, why not?
I guess another positive thing is that they're going to finally... The game was region locked in China, and now it will be available in China soon, which could bring more a crazy large player base. And maybe give them some more money to staff up so that they could start putting out real content. But their game is dying quickly. This was not the answer I think anybody really wanted. And that's kind of what the internet reaction was. It's like, we wanted content. Now you're giving us, you know, a shitty cell phone version.
It's still my favorite Battle Royale game, though. I mean, I'd still play this over Fortnite or PUBG.
Yeah.
Okay, but this is a hypothetical. Like, that's not going to help them hire more staff, or, you know, it's not going to help the game. If I play a Battle Royale, I would play this one. But if the game, those points don't count for much.
Yeah.
Did you see that on basically, you know, sort of similar? So PUBG is coming to mobile in China?
No.
And they had to censor part of it? So on the Chinese version, when you kill somebody, they wave goodbye and drop a loot box.
What? Like, I only will play the Chinese version.
You down somebody and they're crawling, and then you kill them and they look at you and wave goodbye.
Where did, why?
Where did they get Thanos and they just
where do they go?
They just kind of disappear. I don't know why they had to censor it that way for China, but you know,
they the gamer player base over there in China is monstrous. From what I had heard, they have as many registered gamers over there as we have like U.S. citizens in America. It's that crazy of a, and they have everything so region locked. So it is a really big deal that if Apex gets released over there, because it's just a crazy booming market. Overwatch. That's why Overwatch put like 3 expansion teams in China. We have Guangzhou, Hangzhou, and we've always had Shanghai. Mm-hmm. So they've Chengdu, another one. Yeah, so they're just swimming in the Chinese teams because it's such a rich market, mm-hmm. and that's how they're revitalizing. Their stream numbers in America are like half the size as they are over there.
Holy
so
crap.
So it's crazy. But what else we got? We got good news, right? You're going to cheer us up.
We got more shitty news. Well, we got some... new. It's not good. It's not bad.
It's news.
It's just news.
Not whelmed.
Keeping with the shitty companies theme, Riot Games.
Okay.
So there was a protest. There was a walkout at Riot Games this Monday.
Did you say there was a riot at Riot Games?
Oh, it was not a riot.
What do you think of that one, kids?
It was not a riot.
No, they liked it.
It's
like the exact opposite of a riot. They peacefully walked out. So there was a walkout at Riot Games this week. So on Monday, more than 150 Riot employees staged a walkout to protest the company forcing women into arbitration in sexual discrimination lawsuits.
Ooh.
So kind of after the big thing came out, we were talking about earlier last August, there was that huge Kotaku article about just the horrible culture of sexism at Riot Games. So since then, 5 lawsuits have been filed. Mm-hmm. Okay. And last month, they forced 2 of them into arbitration.
Wow.
So arbitration, for those of you that don't know, is a alternative dispute resolution.
Oh,
which
right.
basically is a way.
It's mediation.
Yeah, it's mediation. Yeah. It's a way to settle things that would generally be lawsuits without a lawsuit and without right. going to court. and forced arbitration. So you arbitration can be a good thing. Arbitration can be a good thing if both parties mutually come to the decision to do so. Voluntary arbitration is fine. Forced arbitration generally happens to employees of a company or consumers when they try to sue. And it's usually something like when you sign your contract, your employment contract, it's in there that
right.
if at any time you sue us, it will be finished in arbitration. You have no legal recourse outside of arbitration, which fucking sucks.
That's terrible.
Because arbitrators, you know, basically you're sitting in a room with yourself and the company that you are trying to have some sort of recourse against and the mediator. And a mediator in arbitration is not required to be a legal representative. Doesn't have to be a lawyer, doesn't have to be a judge. It can be like literally any third party.
Yeah.
And if they decide that you don't have a case or that your case, you know, you don't deserve any sort of recourse for what happened to you, you cannot file an appeal. You cannot go to another court. You can't do anything. You can't file another lawsuit. You cannot file a class action lawsuit. So, you know, as one would expect, like 99.9% of the time, forced arbitration goes in favor of the company.
Yeah.
So I was thinking as we were talking, I was like, man, how is it legal that you can waive your rights to our law system? And then I was thinking, well, you have to have a right to be able to choose. So I guess you can.
So,
oh, that's terrible.
Is it required that the arbitrator is a third party that's not a part of the company?
I believe so.
Could
I believe
Dan from accounting.
No, as far as I know, in what I know about business law, it has to be a third party. It can't be somebody employed by Riot Games. So it's usually
that's a conflict of interest.
Yeah, it's usually somebody that's not employed by Riot Games. That does not mean that Riot or whatever company doesn't, I don't know, pay them under the table or use a firm that consistently goes in their favor. Or
use a college buddy.
Yeah. It does not go well. So basically this walkout was to protest that. They're like, you know, you should be facing consequences and you're forcing these women into arbitration so that you don't have to have any problems. So Riot kind of defended themselves and they were saying that they have a forced arbitration clause to avoid highly publicized lawsuits. How'd that work out for you?
what are the optics on having that clause in there? Like, well, what are you doing that would make people want to have to sue you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but
forced arbitration isn't exactly an uncommon.
No, to be fair, I've worked at lots of places where it's in like your, when you sign your HR paperwork, it's in there that says like if you have a problem with the company, it will be dealt with in arbitration.
So that just means that means that it's common. It doesn't mean that it's ethical.
Right. No,
right.
It's,
right.
Yeah, it's not ethical, but yeah,
it's just not something that you would look at in a contract and say this is a huge red flag for this company because like everybody fucking has it. The other thing is that it was supposed to mitigate frivolous lawsuits. Which obviously these are not.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it was just, I mean, it was a big day for them. It was a big protest. Jocelyn Monahan, who was a social strategist at Riot and kind of ended up being like the de facto spokesperson, said, this is about people feeling safe, like they will not be harassed. If they are harassed, that someone will take care of it for them. And if somebody doesn't take care of it for them, they will be able to seek justice in whatever manner they want to. It's not about being entitled.
that sounds like things are about to go Old West style right
at
there.
At this point, why the fuck not?
We're settling this.
But the idea is that like you have a choice in how you want to handle this. It's not just going to come down to you sitting in a room with the person that harassed you and somebody that, you know, fucking Joe Schmo off the street telling you that you don't have a case. Yeah. And then that's the end of it. Because that's kind of what you get. You get a lot of people that are like, this is about entitlement and you know, you want to make this public and you want to make this a huge thing. And no, it's about fairness. It's about legal proceedings the way they should run. So for their part, Riot, after this, I believe, said that in the future, you know, going forward, they will not have forced arbitration clauses for new employees, which, you know, good. However, they are not changing anything, you know, while they're currently in litigation, they will not be changing any current employees' contracts. So all the lawsuits that are currently going on are not going to change.
Yeah.
So we're going to start to restructure things and change our culture, but everybody that we've already screwed over, you guys still can't sue us.
Absolutely.
For anything.
Fuck you, bitches. Absolutely.
You know, they went through a rebrand recently, too. Did you guys notice? They changed their logo completely. And it's kind of interesting timing for it. You know, they're going through, they just got battered, and then they kind of came out with this rebrand that looks a little bit fresher, a little bit cleaner.
Yeah.
But what it is they took the little, you know, there was a fist above the eyes for the little punctuation mark.
Yeah.
And now that is like the main crux of it. And although I don't quote this guy too much, there's a very popular Overwatch caster named Monte Cristo. And he said, Riot doubles down on their frat boy fist bump imagery in spite of the problems with their company culture. Rebranding was an opportunity to show the change they purport to want. But with everything else, it's clear that they have no interest in actually reinventing themselves. Because it really just looks like a giant.
It's not wrong.
It looks like a giant bro fist. Like, it, that's what they did, ended up kind of.
Rebrand fail.
Yeah, it was a rebrand kind of fail.
Oversight.
I mean, this is another one of those guilt-free ones because I have no intentions of playing League of Legends ever. Like, I lose a little respect when someone says, yeah, the main game I play is League of Legends.
Go, really? So where are you on the toxicity meter?
I thought you were a human
are
being.
Are you really, really, really high, or are you just, like, high?
You're just high. So yeah. You must be pretty low.
How many times have you been banned?
Let's start there.
I mean, that sucks. I love everybody equally, even you guys that play League, but there's so much better out there for you. There's so much better.
I'm going to be honest. I love them a little less if they play League.
Alpha David is judging you.
Just keeping it real.
Alpha David gives zero fucks.
So I was going to say that's our last shitty company for the day, but it's not.
No.
It's not. Let's talk about Gearbox.
Emma Skies, why? We love Borderlands.
Well, let's talk about it.
But does it love you?
There was a little bit of controversy recently. From David Eddings, who voices Claptrap in Borderlands.
Used to. Yeah.
Voiced Claptrap in, I almost said League of Legends, Borderlands. Spoke up about some shit that he had to deal with when he worked at Gearbox. So he actually worked at Gearbox. He wasn't a voice actor, per se. You know, he just worked there and happened to also do the voice of Claptrap, which he did without getting paid. He didn't get paid anything over his regular job salary, and he didn't get royalties.
Yikes.
And I actually had a chance to talk with David at E3 earlier this year, and we weren't talking about, you know, anything like what's going on now, but we were just kind of talking about the games in general, and he had a very good point. Like, he just really loves these games. He loves games in general. He's like, if I could do this and I could provide this for the company, like, I was really excited to. I really loved this. Like, he didn't need to get paid. He seemed very, like... He was super nice. He was super chill to talk to. So kind of hearing all this on the other side of it is interesting. Because basically, what it kind of sounds like it came down to is that Randy Pitchford, who is the CEO of Gearbox Software, I don't know what happened. I don't know what was the catalyst here.
I have no clue. I think it was are you talking about the actual confrontation?
Well, like what happened on Twitter.
Oh, like I don't know what made this come out of the woodwork. I don't know what spawned it.
I think it was I thought it was that guy, the executive that still works there. I thought it was him responding to an article that like one of the major distributors put out. I thought it was the microtransactions thing because he had the thing where he was on stage and he was like, oh, and by the way, you know, you could change your skins, you could do this or that, but we're not doing that microtransaction stuff. And then when it came out, there's like, no, I don't know if you understand microtransactions, but that's what these are. It's just they're not the most egregious ones. And I think he went at them really hard. Like, why are you guys trying to screw me on this playing the victim? And I think Homeboy might have been like, you want to play the victim?
Yeah.
We could talk about who's been victimized.
Yeah. So at some point, for some reason, Randy Pitchford, who is the CEO of Gearbox Software, called Eddings bitter and disgruntled and kind of just started to start some shit. So
he trumped his way out of it. He got legitimate like stuff, you know, called out on something, and then he just went straight to attacking the dude's personal. He didn't justify the situation or give his side. It was straight up, he's just bitter, you know, of course he's gonna say this stuff. We're the best, you know. We have a new Claptrap. The new Claptrap is better than the old one. The old one was a bad hombre.
You know? Oh god.
It's the orange cherry, really.
So, wow. Good God. So, in a Twitter thread, so David Eddings starts talking. He says, I was fine moving on after Gearbox, but when my former boss starts mouthing off about various aspects of my employment, including how highly compensated I was and how generous he is, I feel obligated to correct the record.
Here's my read of this situation specifically, because as someone who's, like, my title at my job is VP of Content. And so there's times that come around and I'll do a voice work, you know, and I get paid as something, and mm-hmm. we would contract. But if I'm going to do it, you know, I'm going to do it, and I'm not going to put it into my thing because I've invested into this thing to where it's like, ah, you know, it'll get made up later. I don't need to get signed up. So I'm assuming it was something like that because Dave Eddings was high up there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And even when this thing went down, I'm sure he's a little bitter about it, but I don't think he was going to go chase anybody down or make a big deal of it because I've seen his panels. He was at SAC Anime mm-hmm. and he genuinely just a really happy-go-lucky, loved the industry. Really, that's like his thing,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
So then when this shit comes out, and he's like, all right, I do have a little bit of a story to tell. And I still don't think he's going to go chase him down for that Claptrap money or anything. I think he's still, you know, that's what makes me feel like I trust his side of the story. Just he has history of this.
Right. Yeah.
And he did get fucked because he did an amazing job as Claptrap, even though it might have been an inside office joke. Dave, why don't you record the Claptrap? Do the voice you do in the meetings, you know?
Right.
And he did it. And then the character blew up beyond anything anybody expected. And he ended up kind of getting screwed out of it. So
So he said he had mixed feelings when Gearbox asked him in 2018 if he would come back to voice Claptrap in 3. Said he was willing to, quote, put differences aside and do something cool for Borderlands fans with my friends at Gearbox. So, like, that was always kind of his deal. He was like, if the fans want it, like, I'm all for it. So he says he offered to do Borderlands 3 voice work for, quote, free in exchange for Gearbox paying him past royalties for his work in Borderlands 1 and 2. So he didn't want to get paid for Borderlands 3. He just wanted royalties from the first two games, which is more than fair.
Yeah, totally.
And it just goes on to say, you know, he did the voice work, and because he was already an employee, he didn't draw any additional payment for it. However, within this whole thread, he also brings up that Randy Pitchford once, quote, physically assaulted him.
Yeah.
What?
In a hotel lobby at GDC 2017.
Oh, no. Weren't you at GDC?
I was at GDC 2017. I did not witness anything.
I was going to say, did you see a man get struck?
I didn't know any of these people. They said the alleged misconduct reportedly took place at the Marriott Marquis Hotel in downtown SF. And he didn't really go into detail on it. So it's unclear what exactly happened or if he filed a police report. But Edding says he offered to do the voice work for Claptrap in Borderlands 3 if Gearbox gave him the requested back pay and an apology for the assault. And it appears that didn't happen. Wow. All he wanted was back pay that I believe he's more than entitled to and an apology for being physically assaulted by his boss.
Yeah.
I mean, Claptrap is that game. Like it's the mascot. That's what people love that series for. At least that's how I've always taken it. Like, it's kind of bizarre, but it's just, it's unfortunate. I don't know whether I'm being clouded. My judgment's being clouded because of, you know, Borderlands 3, but I don't think we're in the territory where we have to pick it or boycott yet. So I will still be purchasing this game day one, but I got my eye on you, Randy Pitchford.
We'll see. Well, because one of the things that, you know, David talked about in earlier tweets was like how Randy Pitchford was talking about how highly compensated he was, but was, you know, talking about how generous he was. And so we already know, like, he wasn't super highly compensated for Claptrap. And he goes on to mention there was a reported $12 million that Randy Pitchford is alleged in a lawsuit to have received as a secret bonus paid to him instead of going to the Gearbox development team's bonus pool.
Okay, oh, I do remember hearing about that.
Okay, hold on, real quick. Okay, we all know that, like, you know, executives get bonuses.
Mm-hmm.
What's a secret bonus? What's that?
Well, because it sounds like this was a bonus that was supposed to go to the dev team based on sales of the game. So based on royalties of the game. And instead, $12 million went to Randy Pitchford.
Yeah, he pocketed it.
Pitchford, you know, finds it conspicuous that he would talk about Edding's salary, but not mention the $12 million payment that, in Edding's word, Pitchford siphoned away from the employee royalty pool.
Oh, snakes, yo.
So if I'm David, then
hold on, wait. You
are David.
Yeah. Let's think about that for a second. I'd be like, I wouldn't want an apology. I'd be like, all right, give me the past royalties. And a fucking rematch. Sucker punch me on the street. Nah, cage match.
I love it.
One on one. Let's do it.
One on one.
So I imagine we'll probably hear a little bit more about Gearbox, whether it comes from them trying to defend themselves or various other people that are like, hey, yeah, no, I know about this.
I don't think there's going to be too many people jumping on the grenade. I think a few stories come out.
You gotta wait for people that haven't They don't work there anymore.
Yeah. Well, I think what will end up happening is they'll distance themselves from him, maybe.
What I was about to say.
And I don't think people are going to be so upset about it.
I was thinking, do you guys hear that sound? Yeah. Sounds like them getting his severance package together, right?
That paper shuffling?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
We have to have some good news.
We do have some good news.
All right, here we go.
Thank God. Spicy nuggets are back,
right? We'll end on some on a high note. So, after all of this happened, you might have seen a smattering of big news kind of here and there about some various franchises, and that is because Disney Fox, as they are right now, has announced the next 8 years of their movie releases.
Hey, yeah. Let's go.
So we have a release schedule through 2027, and obviously a lot of these dates are going to change and move around, but we have a general idea of what they're going for. So, not like literally the least important thing on it, but the first thing that jumped out to me because it made me laugh so hard. New Mutants got pushed again.
Good. This is good.
Movie is never coming out.
Just cancel it already.
I don't know why they haven't.
Yeah.
Like, so right now, New Mutants has been pushed again to April 3rd, 2020, which will be almost 2 full years after it was supposed to release in 2018. We got the trailer for this movie almost 3 years ago, which means it was done.
Wait, we did?
The movie was done being shot.
I don't remember this trailer.
I do.
It was a teaser trailer. I remember it.
It was like a significant amount of footage. Like,
totally.
So the first thing we heard, like, it got delayed because, like, they had a ton of reshoots.
Yeah.
Like, they reshot. It sounded like half the damn movie.
Right.
So, I don't know what's going on with it. I swear to God, this movie's never coming out.
It's
going to
be the Matt Damon of the Marvel.
It really is.
Oh, really, we got that time this year. We'll get you
that should be the new Stan Lee cameo. At the end of the movie, in the after credits, like, we're so sorry, New Mutants. We'll get to you next time.
That would be awesome.
I think this is good, though, because whatever they had in store was probably going to be pretty bad and inconsistent with whatever new X-Men stuff we're about to get.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't cancel it. They just moved it, which is not to be confused with movie that they did cancel.
Which one is that?
The Gambit movie.
Yeah, baby. Oh. What do you guys think, kids?
I
thank God.
You weren't ready for Channing Tatum Gambit?
No.
I've never been so happy to have one of my favorite Marvel characters movies be canceled.
Yeah.
I never thought I'd feel it's so weird. To touch on the New Mutants things for a second, I'll be honest, like I like the idea of comic book movies, you know, kind of having subgenres like Winter Soldier, Captain, yeah. And all that stuff.
New Mutants supposed to be horror.
Right. So I liked the idea of it, but I did not want New Mutants to be horror because literally at the end of Logan, he died protecting those last mutant kids, and those were supposed to be the New Mutants. Remember, mutants were dead in the movie.
Yeah.
Remember that the gene had been wiped out. That was the whole thing. He died, and they lived, and they were going to be the New Mutants. I thought that's what they were going to grab. I was like, oh, that's perfect. I forget the child actress's name, but she was so incredible.
Yes.
I was like, oh, yeah, they're going to have
Laura. Oh, no, that was the character's name.
Yeah, that was a character. But I was like, oh, that's a perfect setup. And then when I saw that they were doing this, I was like, so you guys just threw all that whole perfect setup and how good that movie was away and that ending for this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And now they just keep pushing it back and back. It's just silly.
Like, how can you have a movie that you finished filming 3 years ago? This movie is done. This movie has been sitting done in somebody's closet for the last 3 years. They're just like, one day we'll release it. This is going to be a Netflix exclusive.
It probably will.
If it was good, you know it'd be out by now.
Oh, yeah. Heck yeah.
This is...
I don't know, man, because they're putting Dark Phoenix out. Like, yeah, doesn't mean it's good.
Yeah, but...
Speaking of Game of Thrones cameos, wasn't it Arya who was supposed
yes,
to be
Yes, Maisie Williams is in New Mutants, with Charlie Heaton, who plays the brother on Stranger Things.
Yes, and Anya Taylor-Joy as well. Yeah.
So there's a good cast. I don't understand.
It is a good cast. That's a fantasy cast.
On to the most important part, what everybody was super excited to see from...
Indiana Jones.
How are you just going to cut me off like that? How are you just going to steal my thunder like that? Yes, there is a new Indiana Jones movie coming out.
I honestly didn't think you were going to go there. I thought you were going to actually say something legitimate. And so, were you
going
to say
that? Was not where I was going. Oh, no. Okay. But yes, there will be a new Indiana Jones movie in 2021. And now, for what we've all been waiting for.
Bob's Burgers is getting a movie.
I will fucking kill you. But yes, Bob's Burgers has been getting a movie for a long time. We finally have a release date now.
Yeah.
July 2020.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
And now. if I may have a moment to talk about what we're all here to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
We got four more Avatar movies coming out. What's up?
Yeah! Let's get it!
Does anybody give a shit about this franchise?
Nope.
Why is this still happening?
Damn. Nope. And it's
Why
crazy
because
Jim Cameron is one of my favorite directors.
Jim Cameron. Are you guys like good friends?
I mean, first
solid buddies?
He calls me Kurt. I'll call him Jim. We're like this. Yo, I don't even want to see these movies. Hey, bro, I appreciate you creating a whole new film technology for us. I don't appreciate the stupid 3D craze that came after.
I don't appreciate just doing a different animated Pocahontas.
Or Fern Gully.
True. Or, yeah, Pocahontas and Fern Gully together equals Avatar.
Yep.
It's like really cool
so
tech.
I feel about this the same way Emma feels about Nintendo. I'm aggressively neutral.
Aggressively
I'm not even
neutral
on this. I legitimately, like, it makes me angry how much I don't care. Like, I don't.
the amount that you don't care makes you mad.
I don't know. I don't understand. Like, because you remember when they put, when Avatar came out and it was like the biggest movie of all fucking time for some reason.
It still is.
It still is for now.
For now.
It's coming up quick. And they announced at the time when it came out that there were going to be five of these movies.
Yeah.
And how many years ago was that now? Like 10?
So it was over many. A decade at this point, I believe. Yeah.
20. So for some reason, I don't fucking know. We're getting four more of these. So allegedly, it's coming out in 2021, 2023, 2025, and 2027.
Avatar was released in 2009. So it's literally been a decade.
10 years!
A decade.
So damn, it took him 10 years to make the first one. This one... I better feel like I'm on Pandora.
Now, you know what? Now, I will say this in James Cameron's Jim Cameron's defense.
As
Jimmy?
Ever since Terminator 2, every time he does take a long time to do movies, and every time he was going to release a movie, I'm always like, oh, how good is it going to be? It can't be that good. And every time, it makes a bunch of money, and it's critically acclaimed. So he does make his movies worth the wait, but like he's also never. Well, no. How long did it take him to do Terminator? Came out in what, 92? Terminator 2. So the original Terminator came out in what, 83, 84?
Yeah, it was a different time though. I feel like movies. Maybe that's just his old school mentality. Is like it doesn't need to be done.
Yeah.
6 months later, like
that's
now.
True. But he does literally invent. He's invented like more camera technology since then.
Yeah.
And so I don't. He's an incredible filmmaker. But I also just kind of want, you know, Endgame to beat Avatar since he talks so much crap about book movies.
Yeah,
for
yeah.
Sure.
It's coming up too. Like I saw a IGN on your left meme that
Avatar
Avengers is coming for you fast. I think Avatar is one of those movies that was technologically amazing or whatever, but then everybody just told me it was awesome, so I just kind of was like, yeah, it's Avatar.
Like, everybody talked about how amazing Avatar is, but nobody could really tell you why beyond the technology, because the story is nothing revolutionary.
I'll tell you what it is, honestly, because same thing, I was thinking about it, and I'm going to actually watch it again because it's being talked so much. But what I do remember about it, which was actually incredible, and this is what James Cameron excels at, he casts very well, like Zoe Saldana.
Sam Worthington.
Sigourney Weaver. And who was the dude that played the bad guy with the cuts on his face?
Cable? Real life cable.
Yeah, the dude that was.
Yeah. Hey,
all of them killed their roles.
Yeah.
And the characters themselves were really well developed. Now, where things fall apart in James Cameron movies
is the writing.
And specifically the story. Because, how does Terminator time work? You know what I mean? Like,
don't
that's
ask.
Where things fall apart. But his characters, like.
Quantum Realm.
Web. It was James Cameron
he
was
figured
using
it out.
Realm
he was ahead of his time. Titanic, though. He's going to be living off that Titanic hype.
I died the other day. I don't know why I saw it. Like, somebody just tweeted something about Titanic, and they were like, why have we never acknowledged the fact that Titanic is just James Cameron's historical fan fiction? I was like, It is.
Dang.
Real talk.
So,
damn.
Aside from four new Avatar movies, we're also getting eight new Marvel movies.
Hey-o.
Yeah.
So it's going to be pretty jam-packed. So there's only going to be two next year. We'll only get two Marvel movies next year. So we'll get two this year.
Fucking
we'll get
bullshit.
Two next year. And then in both 2021 and 2022, there's three Marvel movies.
Damn.
Yeah.
So you have less than 4 months between movies at that point.
And you know what? I read yesterday that the contracts of Chris Evans, Robert Downey Jr., and Chris Hemsworth are under negotiation.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to find information on contracts, and I couldn't find anything legit.
I saw that on like in one of those IGN posts on Instagram where it's just like a graphic and it's just like a headline, but there's nothing to click on to learn more.
Interesting.
So
I bet, like, of course they're gonna want to have you know, Tony Stark as a Force ghost in some of these movies. Like,
yeah,
they'll play. I'm sure it'll be very low, but they will. Of it'll course, be cameo they're status. Gonna be part of it forever. Until the day they die.
And Hemsworth is probably going to do another. I mean, well, it's pretty well known.
He's
going to
be in Guardians 3.
Yeah. Well, he out of the three of them, he was the one that was least keen on leaving. Yeah. Like, he was the one that was more willing to keep going. The other two were like, done.
They're just
going to
put them on reserve. Like, the next time we see.
He said, I'm sorry, you want to pay me how much money?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'll stay. I'll stay.
The next time we see Chris Evans in a movie, he'll be actually as old as he was in Endgame.
They made him look. It's that CGI.
Yeah.
Except he's going to be in the What If thing on the Disney streaming service. So we'll see him again soon.
Hey, let's go.
And then something that I think a lot of people weren't expecting, because we got news recently that this specifically was not happening, is that we're getting a new Star Wars trilogy in the next few years. So Rise of the Skywalker comes out this year and will end this current trilogy. Mm-hmm. And the next one will start up in 2022.
Yeah.
And they kind of like they told us recently that they're done with Star Wars movies for a while after this. But apparently, apparently it's just for a couple years.
Yeah. I think this one's been in the works for a while, though. This is going to be the Old Republic stuff, right?
Well, that's what it seemed like. Like, and everybody was pretty sure on things up until the Disney streaming service came along. So it's kind of up in there, but it was out there that Rian Johnson, who directed and wrote The Last Jedi, that he was going to get a trilogy. And then it was also reported that Benioff and Wise, of course, of, you know, Game of Thrones.
I swear to God. I swear to God.
And now what's funny is that when that rumor originally came out, everybody was so stoked. Now this is
because it was when Game of Thrones was still good. Yeah. And you know, it was when Game of Thrones was going off of source material.
Yeah.
I don't trust Benioff and Weiss with a Star Wars trilogy that they're not working off of somebody else's source material.
Yep. And I think that's the key thing. And I hope that's the thing that unfortunately. That's kind of my bone to pick with Kathleen Kennedy, is that like as awesome, like as great as her history has been, and when it comes to actually making films, I think she's been great. But as a studio head, it seems like it's kind of been a little like, let me just get people that I think are great, but not have kind of that overarching vision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like I know where I want to go, but I don't know where I want to end at. And I think that's kind of been the thing. So this might be, remember on Rogue One, she started off with Tony Gilroy shooting it or whatever, and then same thing, she had another person come and totally do the reshoots and then made them edit the movie together. We already know what happened with Solo. She had who's the guys from the Lego movies?
I don't remember. I remember it ended with Ron Howard, but I don't remember who it started with.
Yeah, it was the guys that do the Lego movies. Anyway, okay. They're notorious for being super funny. They shot like for anywhere from 75% to 90% of the movie.
It was not a good movie.
Yeah, it wasn't. But how could it be when you pick people and then 70, even if it's 60, even if it's 50%, you let them get through 50% of the movie and then you realize that they weren't the people for the gig? Like, you can't keep doing that. So my thing is, like, who, the people that you're picking, you know, are you picking the right people, and are you making sure that they stay close enough to the source material to where people feel familiar, but you give them enough creative freedom so they can take things forward?
In chat, hey righty, new person to the stream, was a podcast listener, first time in chat, drops a little nugget here.
Oh, that's right.
Never forget, Benioff was a writer on the X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Yep.
Yo, okay, I don't want this guy near my Star Wars now.
You didn't know that?
No.
You don't want him to bring out Deadpool with the swords?
You know, this is
that was that one.
That's that one. You know how this will work, though? Let Timothy Zahn write the trilogy.
Ooh.
Let him, like George R.R., you know? And then you just give it to Benioff and Weiss to execute his fully completed vision.
All right.
Then I'm happy.
Hey, Corey, can we hire you? I like that.
Timothy Zahn's the fucking man when it comes to Star Wars content.
Timothy Zahn is the man, absolutely.
Yeah.
So we've got 8 years of a lot. And, like, that is just, like, a very itty-bitty piece of it. Like, they have a shit ton of Disney live-action movies, Pixar movies coming out, Disney animated movies. Like, this list is massive. If you're curious what's on it, like, there's a lot of content coming out over the next 8 years.
Ooh, so, Emma, congratulations. Like, props on spacing these stories out, giving us some optimism heading into the rest of whatever, you know, the listeners are going to do.
That's right.
To make everybody even more happy, we're going to go to Curtis's Comic Corner. What do we got from Oblivion this week?
Shout out to Oblivion Comics and Coffee. They hook us up with comics. We talk about them. We did just finish doing our Star Wars Trivia Night, which was a major success.
Holy crap. That was awesome.
Shout out to y'all. Y'all held it down. I don't know. Like, I'm a team person, and I usually like to fist bump and all that stuff. I didn't tell y'all. I literally felt like I was about to faint. I had not been sleeping all that week. I was literally having a panic attack when I was up there. Thanks to y'all for holding it down.
Yeah.
We made it happen as a team. So shout out to us, and thank you, Oblivion Comics and Coffee, for having enough beer and not running out. So naturally, Boba Fett is in the building this week. Star Wars.
Let's go.
Age of Rebellion. Greg Pak on the art, Greg Pak on the story, and Mark Laming. Greg Pak, who was I believe he was the last writer on the Incredible Hulk, we talked about it. It was a man. How am I forgetting the guy's name? But it wasn't the Bruce Banner Hulk. It was the
Edward
Asian
Norton.
Kid. No, the
Awesome Hulk.
Yes. Yeah. There we go. That's what Greg Pak came from. Mark Laming on the art. I'm gonna pass it around this way.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, I really, really, really enjoyed this one. And I was a little skeptical because some of the Star Wars comics are hit and miss. I really like the Princess Leia one. I really obviously like the Vader run that Karen Gillan did. The characterization in this book is perfect. I love it because Boba Fett is going after a bounty. You hear people talking about him, and he does not say a word until the last two pages. You go through this whole book, and that's how we know him from the movie.
Yeah.
He didn't talk. He walked the walk. He wasn't about the talk. So I really, really enjoyed it.
How do you do good storytelling with a character that doesn't speak? Is it all through other characters?
Exactly. That's what you have to do. You have to realize, like, okay, I need to get the character right, and I need to get the story right. So if I got a character that doesn't talk a bunch, you have to speak through the other people. So they have people that, like, I'll tell you one part. He ends up having a bounty. He goes past his people. They think they're going to kill him because they're bounty hunters too. He goes right past them. He goes to the cantina. He picks up another bounty, and it's the people that he just passed. He goes back, and the two dudes, one of the guys shoots the other guy to have enough water. And when Boba Fett gets there, the dude that shot is there. The dude that left is gone, and he's like, oh, so you are coming after him now. I'll make a deal with you. Give me some water, and I'll tell you where he went, as long as you don't kill me. Boba Fett gives him the water, and the dude drinks the water, and immediately after, he's like, you're going to kill me anyway, aren't you? Well, you know what? At least he won't get away, and then he tells Boba Fett where he is. So it's that type of writing.
Dang.
I just think is incredible. So I'm just going to say go buy that book. I was thoroughly excited about this book, and it started and ended well. So yeah, that's a buy. Go grab that one, y'all. The other one is Batman and the Outsiders.
Now, I've been eyeing this the entire show.
Then I'm gonna pass it to you first, my friend.
Reminds me a lot of, just the cover at least, reminds me a lot of Red Hood and the Outlaws,
which was my favorite run from the New 52, and that's kind of what got me about it. Dexter Soy on the art and Brian Hill writing the story. The cover and the concept got me excited.
Yeah.
But I was skeptical because I had read some stuff from Brian Hill that did not catch me. But you got to catch me off top. I mean, you come in here, you got character building immediately, and then the next page you turn and the action starts.
Oh yeah, it does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, real quick. It's his father and daughter. They're talking. You know, the daughter's kind of distant. She's got her headphones on, listening to music in the car. The father's like, "Hey, I'll play it for you out here, sweetie." Come to find out, he talks more, and her mother's passed away. And then immediately, boom! Someone's after him. Grabs dad. Chokes him, green stuff comes out of him, grabs the daughter after, nothing happens. And then the dude's like, you don't even know what you are. Throws her off of the highway. She lands on a gas tank, does not die. And then it's like, okay, what's going on? Come to find out that she was part of a plan for metahumans that these rich people put on. And they escaped. Everything else blew up. And Batman put them in witness protection all the way in Los Angeles to make sure that any people after the fact don't try to follow them. Well, someone from that group has hired this crazy powerful mercenary to find them and silence them. And it's so cool that Batman is kind of distant right now, so he's getting intel, but he doesn't want to work it. He feels like he needs to be away. So Black Lightning, Katana are kind of like the de facto two leaders. You got Orphan and Signal in there. Orphan, I believe Orphan came from the Court of Owls, and Signal, I can't remember if Signal came from the Scott Snyder, I think Signal came from the Scott Snyder run of Batman, but basically they're leading that team.
Definitely from the Rebirth.
Okay, was, so Rebirth
line, yeah.
Okay, so then that's Tom King.
Yeah.
Tom King. Okay, perfect. Thank you. Because that's what I said on my stream. I was like, I don't remember if this is the end of Snyder or the start of Tom King's run. So Tom King came up with Signal. But it's dope. It's just, it's really Black Lightning talking to Katana like, hey, I don't know if I should be the leader. Why isn't Bruce the leader? Can we even trust Bruce? And there's this dope scene where he goes and he talks to Katana as she's trying to talk to the Blade and reconnect with her husband. And he's like, I'm coming to you for advice. And she's like, okay, cool. Pick up the sword. Because this is how, you know, like, how you might be better, like, thinking when you're on a bike. Or you might be better thinking when you're drawing. Like, she's like, pick up the sword. That's how I sort things out. And she basically, you know, he tells her, like, challenge me. And he didn't mean by the sword. But he says, challenge me. And ultimately, it's dope. Later, Batman comes back with him, gives him orders and bounces. And he's like, if any of y'all don't want to do this, we don't have to. And Katana's like, but I want to. And he's like, why do you want to? She's like, because we can. We can find this this daughter and we can protect her. And he's like, but what do we get out of it? And she's like, well, I'm challenging you. And I'm like, hey, that's good writing. That's really good writing. So the characterization and everything is dope. And how it ends, I'm not going to tell you. I think you should read it, but I'm going to say, going back to James Cameron, it's very Terminator-esque.
He's pulling that old Reading Rainbow, but don't take my word for it.
Oh, you did?
I just saw the end.
Emma, you spoiled
it. Time travel. Quantum realm.
Quantum realm the whole damn time.
So shout out to Oblivion Comics and Coffee for providing us those. I'm going to say buy both of those. Emma, you get that one because there's a Scott Snyder story in there. So I figured that one would be good for you. and the Star Wars one, I'm actually going to shoot to David Webb because you said you like the art. Nice. So there it is.
So thank you guys for listening to this week's episode of Video Game Bang. If you want more bang in your life, you can follow us on our Patreon, patreon.com/videogamebang. And just for a dollar, you get access to all of our bonus content. We have a goal on there that we're like so close to. I think we're $10 away from our goal. And when we hit that goal, we'll continue to do more larger scale things similar to Bang of Thrones. And let us know what kind of content you want to see us create around television. Like, I thought maybe we could what is it called? Book Club, a new television show.
Hey.
Based on whatever you guys want, though. So that you guys are the ones in charge. Follow us on Twitter if you want to interact with us at Video Game Bang. And our Instagram has been popping off lately. I think we're also at Video Game Bang on there. We've been taking turns. This week is Curtis's week. So if you want to live life through Curtis, seek the kinds of things he does, you can do that. Emma Skies, what's your stream schedule looking like this week?
I will probably be on around 1 p.m. for the rest of the week, but we'll have to see.
Ooh, what are you streaming? Did you get your VR working?
That's what I'm working on.
Oh, we gotta see them streams. David Webb, you going back to the streaming life?
Every once in a while. Just follow me on Twitter. I post when I'm going live.
All right, consistency, great.
Yep.
Curtis, what about you?
Stream life. Yeah, bro, I'm getting the stream life going. More comics tomorrow, but definitely some 2K finally, because I got that PS4 Pro, man, and I feel like I have not really leaned into that thing yet.
Oh, you got to.
Oh, my God. Do you have the Spider-Man game?
Not yet.
Oh, I'm going to let him borrow that.
Fucking Spider-Man game.
I'm letting it.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, just borrow.
I will have it tonight.
Yeah, he'll have it tonight.
Let's go.
Also get Prey.
I'm going to get on that Prey.
Eat, pray, love. I think I'm going to start streaming on Mondays because The Bachelorette, I think, is coming back, baby.
I saw a commercial on like Hulu or something like that, and I was like, oh, shit, Corey's going to be streaming again.
You know, I'm not I'm a man of a creature of habit, and my wife loves to watch the show, which gives me like an extra couple hours to do whatever I want. And so I'm going to get back on that stream grind. I got the hair for it now. I look like scuffed bearded ninja. I'm ready to do this thing. We had an amazing last weekend. If you guys missed out on it, we did trivia night at Oblivion for May the 4th. thank you to everybody who showed up, man. It was insane. We had to have spillover. Curtis would have to read a question, and then Emma would have to relay it to the other half of the room. It was so incredible. And thanks to the people who showed up to help. Eddie, Filmosopher, showed up. Who else we have? Amy brought pizza for us.
Amy brought pizza.
Yeah, that was sick. Short Nerdy Guy was chilling out, hanging out with us.
Yep.
Helping us grade some papers. And then Emma and Curtis crushed it with the questions. Yeah, good job, guys. But we do these once a month, so this month is done. Keep an eye on our social channels and on this podcast if you want to come hang out with us in the Sacramento area. Anything else to plug, guys? I think that was it. That was the show. Thanks for listening. For Curtis Fisher, the real David Webb, Emma Skies, my name is Corey, saying you've just been banged.